Well, we're still on the theme, new things. I cannot get away from it. I've had so many people continue to come and say, Pastor Darren, you're just going to be amazed at the new beginning, the new perspective God's given me, the new beginning, the new thing he's done in my life. And that's, we have a God of new things. He does new things all the time. Right now in my family, there's new things just continue to develop. And it is exciting, amen? And so we're going to continue with that theme at least one more time. This may be the last time, but at least one more time. Lord's laid a little thought on my heart out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I just want to be obedient to what the Lord says do. I don't want to preach longer or shorter than he says. I just want to do what he says and just honor him tonight. I know that there's a beautiful text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but I do want to get it in context so that we put it in our minds the way that it needs to be. And I'll probably still do a poor job, but if y'all pray for me, the Lord would help me tonight, we might have a meeting. Amen. Let's pray right now. Father, would you help us? God, we've sought your face. We've prayed and asked you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of our just our old rotten, stinking selves. And God, that you'd fill us with your spirit. And Lord, that you'd just give us spiritual revelation and illumination tonight, God, that you would just enlighten us, give us understanding of the word of God. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for those who've tuned in online. But tonight, God, we'll have nothing, absolutely nothing, if you don't meet with us. If you don't help us, Lord, to open your word spiritually, God, that we might see it and grant us a blessing, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're thinking about new things. The thought tonight is this: new preparations for God's children. New preparations for God's children. Do you know the minute God saved you, he did something new for you? He's always doing something new in your life. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. But look at this. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, wow. Now, think just for a minute. Just think about that word prepare, the preparations. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14 in verse number 2? In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you a place. And we know that from the top of Bethany, God caused his son just to whoop, be lifted up and ascend back into glory. And the Lord has been preparing at least ever since, if not longer. He's been preparing. We heard what John wrote in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared, there's our word, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In verse 9 of our text, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared, amen, for them that love him. as great as I could imagine it, as great as I could see it, as great as I could hear about it, we have no idea of how great and how awesome that God has, what great and awesome things that God has prepared for us. But the next verse says, but God has revealed them. What does that word reveal mean? It means to unveil something. So it was hidden. What God had done, the preparations, the new things, it was hidden from us. But the Spirit of God has unveiled it and has begun to show it to us. We do have some idea of the walls of Jasper. We do have some idea, although it still blows my mind. We still have some idea of a city 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles wide, tall, and long. Lord, have mercy. You're talking about 3.375 billion cubic miles that we'll live in. Glory to God. And the Lord begins to show us these things by His Spirit. God wants us tonight, look at the end of verse 12, He wants you and I to know that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Lord wants you to know what He's doing for you. Well, Preacher Darren, I know. No, we really don't. We have a little concept in our little peanut mind. We have a little concept, but I'm telling you, we have no real idea what God is doing for His children, for them that love Him. Now, God does things all the time for the entire world. And appreciate it or not appreciate it, there are things He does for the world. I want to read it in Matthew 5:45. I've got a bunch of these, but I'm just going to give you one. Matthew 5:45, it says, "For He maketh His sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil." So every day, God gives you and I the sunshine. Heat, right? It may be 34 degrees outside, but it could be negative 34. So He gives us His sunshine. It's 91.5 million miles away. And in the summertime, He gives us 85 and 90 degrees. And how He don't scorch us with 350. Ain't that just amazing? How about God gives the entire world, people that love Him and people that don't, He gives them sunshine. Matthew 5:45, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Saved or unsaved, believer or unbeliever, God gives you sunshine, God gives you rain. Amen? Thank God for it. Now, it's very clear then in these verses that there are even greater things that God does for His children. I'm interested in what that is. Well, Preacher Darren, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I just want to refresh tonight then about some of the things that God has done for us. Now, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll have some Bible turning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to read on verse number 21. The first thing that He's done for us, okay, we want to know what He's done for us, preparations for God's children. He has given us a pardon that will never be destroyed. It cannot be taken away. The Supreme Court cannot take away the pardon God has given us. Amen. We're living in a day and age of the cancel culture. They're getting rid of this, taking that away, changing this. I mean, we're honest. Things are changing every day, seems like every hour nowadays. But the pardon, thank God, that Jesus has given us will never be destroyed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, in the early 1900s, we had a governor in Pennsylvania. I think his name was Governor Pollock. He was approached by a mother whose son was on death row. And the governor said, "I'm not even going to see the woman." But she begged and she pleaded and she was really starting to black his eyes in the community. So finally he granted her a meeting and she begged. She ran in on her knees and fell down and begged. I fell on her knees and begged the governor for a pardon for her son. that he might not have to be executed. And the governor said, you know what, I'll go see your son. And he went down to the prison, and they opened the doors, and they walked back to where the young man was, and they let him even go in the room and shut him and the boy together. And the boy wouldn't even talk to him, wouldn't even acknowledge him. He said, young man, I am here to help you. Talk to me. The boy wouldn't even say hello. He wouldn't even look at him. He sat in the corner and just looked away the whole time, totally ignored him. Finally, the governor said, I'm leaving. This is your last chance. I'm trying to befriend you, trying to talk to you. And the boy wouldn't speak to him. So he called for the guard. And the guard opened the jail cell. The governor walked out. They slammed the door behind him. He went to the next corridor. They got ready to open that door, and he said, I'm so sorry, governor. I can't believe he wouldn't even acknowledge you. Thank you for coming, governor. It's not every day we see the governor of our state come to our prison. And when the boy heard that, he jumped up and grabbed his jail cell and his door, started shaking and said, hey, wait a minute. Come back. I didn't know you was the governor. Please, Mr. Governor, come back. Please. Was that the governor for real? Please come back. You see, the only man that could have helped you, you rejected. And the world, by far and large, is rejecting the God of glory and his precious son, who's the only one that would help them. But for those of us tonight that have taken the time to hear the message and receive the good news and bow on our face and call the name of Jesus, knowing that he sacrificed himself, knowing that he purchased our pardon, knowing that we've been redeemed, that pardon will never be destroyed. It cannot be taken away by the devil. It cannot be taken away by the world. Democrats or Republicans, Supreme Court, doesn't matter which state it is, doesn't matter which nation it is. Honey, we have a pardon that will forever stand. And I thank God for that tonight. Now, I want to turn back to Psalm chapter 40, and I want y'all to stay there. I'm going to be bouncing all over, but I want you to stay in Psalm 40. I'm thinking about David. The Bible says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. He's not a perfect man. We all know he sinned, okay? And all of us sin every day, but he's a child of God. Do you agree? Now listen what David wrote in Psalm 40, very, very familiar scripture. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. What's this? And thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. He said, God, you've been so good to me. There was a time, David said, that I was in a horrible pit. So was I. There was a time, says David, I was in the miry clay. And no matter how hard I tried to get out in that slime and in that pit, I just kept sliding back in and in and in, and I was never getting out. Until one day, the Lord came to where I was, and he pardoned me, and he lifted me. You know what it means? That means that you get underneath. When you're at your lowest, he gets underneath you. He goes even lower, and he lifts you up out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he establishes your going. Now, I just want to say this, and I'm going to move off of it. When you're removed from the miry clay, that means you've been separated from the world. God has given us a pardon that cannot be destroyed, and I thank God for that tonight. Now, you stay here in Psalms. I have a second point. I want to read out of Philippians chapter 4. And you know these verses. Maybe they'll put that on the screen for us and you can look up there so you don't have to turn so much. In Philippians chapter 4, familiar text in verse number 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Be careful for nothing. It means don't worry about anything. Amen. Do you ever worry about stuff? Lord God, it seems like as I'm getting older, I worry about more things now than I ever worried about before, and I don't know why that is. I know the scriptures. I know what I'm supposed to do. But, oh, wretched man that I am, the things that I know to do, I don't do. And I begin to get worried about stuff. Now, I want to say, second of all, here's my point. God's done something for us. He's given us a gift. This new thing he's done for us, he's given us a peace that cannot be disturbed. I want to read about it to you. He says, don't be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What we need to know by this is that worry doesn't help anything. In fact, it makes everything worse. So instead of worrying about everything, we need to start praying about everything. I got two or three amens. Let me try it again. Instead of worrying about everything, start praying about everything. And prayer will make things better. Make your prayers and with your supplications and thanksgiving, make those known unto God. Look at verse 7. And, that's a conjunction, and when you do that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep in the Greek is the word phroreo. It means to fortify, to guard, to surround. It's a military term. It is to situate a garrison of soldiers to protect. So this is what God's doing. He said, if you'd stop your worrying and the things you're worrying about, if you'd start bowing your knee, closing your eyes, yielding yourself, and come to me in prayer with it, I will send soldiers of the Holy Spirit to calm you, to guard you, to surround you, to protect you, and you'll have a peace that will never be disturbed. And I just want to say this. You may get worried here. Things may shake you up and cause you to tremble. But there is coming a day for the child of God when we'll never know anything other than peace forever. There is coming a rest, a peace to the people of God. Thank God there'll be a peace that the devil cannot disturb when we get to the new city. And I thank God for it. Now, you're still over here talking about David in Psalms. I don't know why I keep going back and forth. I'm just trying to mind the Holy Ghost. But David talked about being lifted out of the horrible pit, lifted out of the miry clay. He says that he set my feet upon a rock. Upon a rock. That's interesting. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, I realize we're in a pandemic. Listen, if you're a pastor out here and you're hearing me right now, or if you're a church member, you hear me? I'm telling you, everything has changed in the last 2 years. I'm telling you everything. The ministry, there's not a church that's not changed. There's not a ministry that's not changed. You may say, well, if it's of the Lord, it won't change. Honey, as long as there's people in it, there's going to be some change. But it ain't never going to go under because it's on the rock. And Jesus is the head, and the head will never drown. If you're a young preacher out here, just keep preaching. Whether you have 150 or 450, or if you have just 50 or just 5, just keep preaching. When he called me to preach, he never told me how many to preach to. He just told me to preach. Amen. Listen, keep
serving God. Keep singing. Keep preaching. Keep praying. Keep plugging on. In the middle of a pandemic, we need to be now more grounded than we've ever been. Hey, man, I'm just trying to encourage you. Stay with the stuff. Keep praying and seeking God's face. God said, I've set your feet on the rock. As long as your feet's on the rock, you ain't coming off of there. And he said, I've established your goings. I don't have to worry about falling off. I don't have to worry about all this stuff that's going to hit me. I've been established by the Lord God Almighty. And we're going to go through. Be at peace. Just walk with him. Just go with him every day. God, give us a peace just to continue on with you every single day. Well, there's another verse here. It's found in verse number 5. It says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. And if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So I want to say this thirdly. There's a power that he's given us, a power that will never be defeated. The power that lifted him out of the miry clay, the power that brought him up out of the horrible pit, that's power. No, listen, no math teacher could get him out of that mess. No science teacher could get him out of that mess. No president, no governor could get him out of that mess. No Supreme Court justice, I don't know why I keep picking on them, they couldn't get him out of that mess. Nobody could get him out of that mess but Jesus. And after he's done that for us, which is more than enough, he's been with us every day, and his thoughts are to usward, and he's blessed us and fed us and clothed us and given us the desires of our heart, so much so that he spoiled us, and you would think your picture is on his refrigerator if he had one. He's done so much for us. The power of God. And you're so worried about what the devil's going to do. I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 8. Out of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Don't want to lose my place. Romans chapter 8. Help me, Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? You know what that means? You and God are a majority. Well, who won the election, Preacher Darren? God did. It's what he says. Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? But the reverse is true. If God's against you, who can be for you? Right? Now next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Give us all things. Let's say that I went to buy my wife a new car, and if she's listening, don't get any ideas. But if I went to buy her a brand new car, and I did, don't you think that I ought to put gas in it for her? And when the gas runs out, because it will, right? Shouldn't I put gas in it for her again? When the tires wear out, shouldn't I put new tires on it? Listen, God didn't just give you his pardon. He's done so much more for you than just that. The power of God has kept you and blessed you beyond measure. There is a boy who was a bully, and he kept picking on this little boy at school. And he said, I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich. And the little boy, he'd grab the boy's shirt, and the little boy would he'd wiggle free and run off and cry, and he was so scared. He would avoid that bully at all costs. He's worried to death about him. And the bully, every time he seen him in the hall, if he seen him after school on the bus, he was always threatening him and mocking him and having fun. And the bully thought, oh, I'm rather enjoying what I'm doing to this boy, making him threatening him and making him tremble the way he was. And one day out on the playground, the bully with all of his buddies came and saw the little boy and grabbed him again by his neck and said, I'm going to give you the knuckle sandwich. I'm going to run you through the ground. I'm going to drag you all over this playground. I'm going to let everybody see what a weakling, what a coward you are. But this time the little boy didn't run away. He stood there, stood his ground courageous and looked at him. And the bully threatened him again, but he couldn't believe that the boy wasn't budging. And he said, where are you getting your newfound courage? He said, if you'd turn around, you'd see my big brother. He's waiting to take up my case right now, so I don't need to do another thing. Honey, I'm just telling you what makes you quake and what makes you tremble and what causes you to fear and what's absolutely scaring you to death. Hear me. If you just look around, our big brother is standing right there ready to take on the bully, ready to kick him and get rid of him. Thank God there's a power that's with us that can never be defeated. Satan's power is not greater. The weather conditions are not greater, honey. I'm telling you, the economic conditions and the social crisis that we're experiencing in our land is not greater. There's no power that can defeat the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's with me, and he's with you right now. And his thoughts are to usward. Hallelujah. He's with us every day. And if I tried to think about all he's done for me, I couldn't even begin to recount. I couldn't even begin to thank him for all he's done. I mean, listen, tonight there's no telling what he did for me just driving up here. He protected me from oncoming traffic. He kept bears and deers from running out in the middle of the highway, causing me to wreck. Honey, he took care of us to get us to this place tonight. And the God that's brought us to where we are will be the God that brings us to where he is. Thank God for it. Well, I've got at least two more of these. I hope y'all are okay. But I want to look at Psalm 40, and I want to look at verse 3. He says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Fourthly, there's a praise that'll never be described. You hear him praising the Lord for the pardon? Do you hear him praising the Lord for the power that's keeping? Do you hear him praising? He's praising the Lord. He said he's put a new song in my mouth. Hey, has the Lord saved you? Honey, he gave you a new song to praise him with. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Back in October when we had the 24 hours of prayer and got in here for the first day for a few hours praying and, man, just trying to get myself in condition to pray and seek God's face, I'm telling you, when I left that evening and went home to rest, I was up two or three times in the night on my knees again to pray at the house. But when I came back here, there was a presence that met me at that back door of that there. And I'm telling you, when we come in this sanctuary, the power of God met us here. And everybody, Brother Bob's one of the ones that Rim was with me. There was people coming in and out. I don't know who and all they were. But I'm telling you, we got into a spirit of praise in this place. We was reading some of these psalms out loud, running the aisles, jumping pews, and I was laying underneath this middle section's pews back here, and God come by and said, mercy. And I'm telling you what, I liked the lost, and I just laid flat on my face. He just spoke mercy to me. And I'm telling you, I've been praising him ever since that moment. Honey, he's pardoned me, and his power has kept me. He's done a work in my life. He's given me a peace that I cannot even describe to you. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, I got to read this verse. Help me, Lord, to find it. 1 Peter chapter number 1, I believe it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verse 8. You got to see it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Ooh, ooh. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was going to be honest, y'all. What I experienced that moment in October, I have never experienced it in my entire life. Preacher Darren, well, we've been in some good services. Boy, we have. You remember that time? Do you remember that time? Oh, listen, I could just go, I could list a bunch of them. You remember this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. Oh, how good God's been to us. I remember one time I was in Madison County. I believe y'all was there. Or maybe y'all was part of that meeting. Might have not been that exact night. But I was in Madison County preaching over there. I can't remember the name of that church right now, but I remember the moment. And I was preaching and the congregation had done lost. And I'm telling you, the honey buckets from heaven had flipped over. People was shouting while I was preaching. And that just, normally people don't shout while you preach. They shout while you sing, but they don't shout while you preach. But man, they got to shouting and they got excited. And then I see them getting up on their feet and they was jumping. And I had one running up down the aisle this way. And one was running back and forth. And a little old lady, son, I come down here preaching. She liked to run slap over me. And we probably had 75 people up praising God, having themselves a fit, and I got over here by a window, and honest, I was shouting too. I was just caught up in what God was doing, and I left preaching behind, and we got into praising Him, and I've never seen such a time, young. I'm just telling you, there's a praise that cannot be described, and if I could tell you about it, I wouldn't tell you half of it. You know, it's kind of like some of you, you watch online and you say, I'm not getting online what y'all are getting in the service. You just can't do it, amen. And sometimes you get in a place that even in the house of God, it gets so thick, you get on your face, you miss half of what went on, but it didn't even matter. You got all you could get anyway, and it liked to run you out just to get it. Are y'all okay? David said, Lord, you've done such a work for me. Get me out of this pit, out of this mire, taking my feet from the mire and putting them in the choir and giving me a song and a time to praise you, Lord, I'll just never get her done. Eternity will never be long enough to thank Him for what He's done. I looked at the Psalms. You know, in the Psalms, the word praise, there's 150 Psalms. Do you know how many times the word praise is in there? 150. Go figure. Surprise. Now, it's not necessarily in each one, but as a whole, 150 for 150 Psalms. And the last one, Psalm 150, guess how many times it's in there? 7. That's an unusual number. No. Surprise, that's the Lord's number. Amen. It's His number of completion. I'm telling you, the Word of God is perfect and entire. It'll inspire you. There's a praise. I'm telling you, youngins, when you pray, if you'd just get to the place to where when you pray, if you'd confess your sins to Him, and then after you confess your sins to Him and really repent of them, if you'd spend a little time praising Him. I mean, He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. He's the Christ. He's the day star. He's the eternal one. He is the Father. Amen. He is the glory of God. He is holy. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is Master Messiah. He is the name above all names. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He's quick, amen. Hallelujah. He's the Prince. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's the Triumph. He's the Unique One. He's the Victor. He's the witness and the way. He's the excellent one. He is Yahweh, and He's the zeal of the house. He's the zenith of all our hopes and all of our expectations. From A to Z, from Alpha to Omega, take time to praise Him. He's worthy of your praise. Amen. Well, I got one more. Fifthly, I see our psalmist in verse 1, and I'll start to use this one first, but here it is. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, what was he doing? He was praying. Fifthly, there's a prayer that you can pray that will never be denied. What gets quiet? There's time, Preacher Darren, now you yourself, you preached a whole series of messages about prayer, and you said there are answers. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait, sometimes He answers different. Let me tell you something. There is a prayer in the Word of God that will never be denied. What is it, Preacher Darren? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh to me, John chapter 6, him that cometh unto me, and I will in no wise cast him out. I don't care who you are. If you want to call upon his name, he will not deny you. He will not reject you. He will not cast you off. He will receive you just as you are. And when he receives you, he'll convert you. He'll change you. He'll cleanse you. He'll purge you. He'll adopt you. Hallelujah to God. Woo! He'll justify you. He'll show you mercy. He'll show you grace. He'll, glory to God, he'll pardon your sins. I'm telling you, what a Savior that would do all those things. There's a prayer we can pray that'll never be denied. Well, I found out on July 13th, 1978, I came to him a hog-gut sinner, toe-headed, freckle-faced boy, bowed on my face in the middle of a highway. Ask him, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? And you know what he did? He met me that night, and he saved me, and he forgave me, and he made me one of his own. He saved me as he saved you. He did not deny me, amen. And when the psalmist was in that pit, and when he called upon the Lord heard his prayer, He inclined his ear unto him. He calls that young man, he lifted him out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Thank God for it, amen. Well, those are just five things. Those are just some things that God has went ahead and he's began to prepare for his children. And he does these things for us every day, and sometimes we don't realize. I was a few months back, maybe about a year back, there's a certain book, maybe a little longer, I don't remember, but there's a book that I was looking for. I love to read and I love to study. I got my glasses because I spent all day in the Word of God today, and my eyes are just like, I can't always see good. My head's hurting. And so, Lord, I was wanting to find this book, and I looked. I went on different websites that I used to find books, and I couldn't find it. Out of stock, couldn't find it. And man, I looked, and finally, I believe it was on ABE. I finally found it, and I was so excited, and I ordered it, and it was used, and it come out of a preacher's library, and I got the book, and I was so excited. I was thrilled absolutely to death. I sat down and started reading it. Man, it was really helping me. I read chapter 1. I read into chapter 2. And then I sat down at my desk and I pulled up some of my stuff I have on my computer, some of my programs on my computer, and the book was already on my computer. I had it the whole time. I'd searched everywhere looking for that, and I already had it in my very own program. There's a man by the name of William Randolph Hearst, and he was a very wealthy newspaper publisher, and he was known to collect great masterpieces and priceless collections of art. And he read in a magazine somewhere about this piece of art, and he sent some agents to work for him across the globe in search of this masterpiece. And after months and months, they finally found it. And they came back and they said, Mr. Hearst, we have found that piece. He said, great, where is it at? And how much is it going to cost me? No price is too great. I want that. My heart desires and my heart is set up. I must have this piece of art. They said, Mr. Hearst, it's in your warehouse. You already own it. You've owned it for years. Young as I'm telling you, God has things prepared for you, and some of the new things you're looking and wanting him to do, he's already done it. You've already got what you need. He's already done for you. He's already given you enough ability to remove fear and remove worry. He's given you so many promises. Woo, you already have what you need. And you're looking for some new thing. And you've already got it. Why don't you just take time to praise him for it? And to thank him for it. And to actually appreciate what he's done for you rather than looking out at the pandemic and getting all worried and concerned, why don't you just rest back on what God's done for you and just rejoice in his blessed name. Father, this evening, I want to thank you for some of these things that are all these things that you've prepared for your children. Lord, when I thought about the message and we started studying, Lord, we were writing things about heaven, things you've prepared for us in glory, a new body. Whew. Lord, those mansions, Lord, that street of gold, Lord, all those things. And to see you, oh Lord, and then God, as we started getting our hope aroused and excited, thinking about things in the future, and we got to praise you for what you've brought us from, God, you had us to concentrate on some things we already have in the closet, some things we already have in the soul, some things we already have. God, I want to praise you, and I want to thank you. And God, I want to ask you to forgive us, God, of how we're out searching and seeking for these new things when, God, the old things have been more than sufficient. And I praise you, God. And Lord, there's been times in my life, I'm thinking about an instance, and you know what I'm talking about, where I was looking for something new, and I found something that I hadn't used in you. And there it was, and something old became something new to me. And how it blessed me. And I treated it like I'd never treated before. It was new to me. Oh, God, may it be tonight, Lord, that somebody is going to pull out an old song and it's going to become new to them. Maybe there's an old promise and it's going to become new to them. God, I'm just asking, God, that you'd work this in their lives and help us, God, to overcome our worries. Give us peace, Lord. Help us to pray. Give us power, God. Help us to praise you and rejoice in the pardon that you've given to us, Lord. Help us, God, to have peace, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.